Good morning. It's Wednesday, April 29th, 2026, and I've been at the desk since well before dawn. Coffee, lamp, the usual quiet. The shape of today is interesting. Yesterday's news ran heavy on corporate machinery. Microsoft and OpenAI restructuring, the AWS deal. And today, the second day coverage is doing what second days always do. Turning the dust of the announcement into commentary, into interviews, into the slow read of the contract. Underneath that, there's a steady stream of research papers worth your attention and a defense beat that quietly keeps moving. Four stories this morning. Let me walk you through them. First up, the OpenAI and Microsoft restructuring. The 7-year exclusivity arrangement formally ended this week, and the day after coverage is what reset what the rest of the cloud AI market thinks it can ask for. The amended agreement OpenAI and Microsoft published replaces the original AGI revocation clause, the contractual provision that let OpenAI unilaterally withdraw intellectual property from Microsoft once an internal AGI determination was made, with a defined stage handover process tied to capability thresholds and external attestation. In practical terms, Microsoft loses its hard veto on where OpenAI's frontier weights are served, and OpenAI loses its all-or-nothing exit. Both sides walked away with what the markets read as the more durable settlement. Microsoft retains a long-term economic interest plus committed compute purchases. OpenAI gets multi-cloud distribution and the ability to sign deals like the AWS one announced the same morning. The AWS leg is the headline operational consequence. OpenAI's GPT class models, Codex, and the managed agents tier are now available natively on Amazon Bedrock, with new SKUs appearing on AWS Marketplace within hours of the announcement. Stratechery's interview with Altman and Garman frames the deal as Bedrock graduating from a model aggregator to a managed agent platform. Garman emphasized that Bedrock's value proposition shifts from any frontier model in your private cloud to any frontier agent that can reach your AWS data without leaving your private cloud. Altman's framing was narrower and more financial. The AWS partnership unlocks federal and enterprise demand that was constrained by AWS residency requirements OpenAI could not meet under the prior Microsoft exclusive arrangement. The structural read is that the AGI clause was load-bearing for both companies' long-term investor pitch. Without it, OpenAI's defense against being permanently dependent on Microsoft was nominal, and with it, Microsoft's claim to having locked in the strongest model lab was perpetually under a poison pill. Replacing it with capability threshold language plus a graduated transfer schedule lowers the legal risk on both sides. Hacker News ran two parallel front-page threads, one on the exclusivity ending with 966 points, and one on the AWS interview at 227. Top comments converged on two open questions. How does the new AGI language operationalize the threshold without recreating the same all-or-nothing trigger? And does Microsoft's Azure Compute commitment now act as a soft retention mechanism in lieu of contractual exclusivity? For the cloud AI market, this resets the negotiating posture for every other lab cloud relationship. Moving on to our second story, recursive multi-agent systems, the highest engagement Hugging Face daily paper's entry today at 46 upvotes. The paper extends the looped language model scaling axis from a single model to a multi-agent system. Looped models, for context, scale inference compute by iteratively refining the same model's computation over latent states, deepening reasoning without adding parameters. This paper asks whether the same recursion principle can scale agent collaboration. The authors define a recursive multi-agent framework where the entire system, heterogeneous agents and their inter-agent communication, is cast as a unified latent space recursive computation connected by a lightweight, recursive link module that handles in-distribution latent thoughts generation and cross-agent latent state transfer. The technical core is a pair of choices that distinguish this from prior multi-agent setups. First, agents communicate over learned latent vectors rather than over natural language text. The paper argues that text bottlenecks the bandwidth of inter-agent reasoning and replaces the text channel with a residual stream-style transfer at the cost of losing human interpretable trace. Second, the system is co-optimized across agents using an inner-outer loop algorithm with shared gradient-based credit assignment across recursion rounds. Each recursion round provides a partial gradient signal back through the prior agents. So the system trains as a single computational graph rather than as independent fine tunes glued together with prompt scaffolding. The authors include theoretical analyses of runtime complexity and learning dynamics, claiming the approach is more efficient than standard text-based multi-agent, and that gradients remain stable through recursion. Empirically, they instantiate the framework under four representative agent collaboration patterns: debate, supervisor-executor, planner-solver, and round-robin generation, and evaluate across nine benchmarks spanning math reasoning, scientific question answering, code generation, and tool use. The reported gains are most pronounced on long-horizon reasoning tasks, where multiple recursion rounds are useful and tail off on single-shot benchmarks. They don't claim a new state-of-the-art on any single benchmark. They claim a structural compute efficiency improvement at matched capability. The community reaction split. The optimistic read is that this is the natural endpoint of the latent thoughts research direction, that once a single model can profitably loop on latent states, extending the same idea across multiple specialized models is mechanically straightforward. The skeptical read centers on whether cross-agent latent state transfer reduces, in practice, to a fancier key-value cache reuse, and whether the engineering complexity of co-optimizing four or more agents is worth the modest reasoning benchmark deltas. If the gradient stability claims hold outside the author's setup, the practical implication is that multi-agent systems can be trained as units instead of orchestrated as prompt scaffolds. That's a meaningfully different posture for the field. Third up, DV World, a benchmark of 260 tasks designed to evaluate data visualization agents across what the authors call the real-world professional life cycle, that is, the full arc of producing, adapting, and clarifying business charts, not just the one-shot text-to-chart problem prior benchmarks captured. Three subdomains structure the eval. DV Sheet covers native spreadsheet manipulation, including chart construction, dashboard layout, and diagnostic repair of broken charts. DV Evolution tests an agent's ability to adapt and restructure existing visual artifacts to fit new data across multiple programming paradigms. Matplotlib, Plotly, Vega Lite, native Excel. DV Interact pairs the agent with a user simulator that issues deliberately ambiguous requirements, requiring the agent to ask clarifying questions or surface assumptions before producing output. The evaluation framework is the more interesting methodological contribution. The authors combine table value alignment for numerical precision with a multimodal LLM-as judge using rubrics for semantic visual assessment. So a chart is scored both on whether the underlying numerical mapping is correct and on whether the resulting visual is, by a multimodal judge's rubric, a sensible answer to the prompt. Prior data visualization benchmarks tended to test only one of those axes, either code execution success or visual similarity to a reference. The hybrid scheme matters because most real-world data visualization failures aren't catastrophic numerical errors. They're judgment errors: wrong chart type for the data, axis lying about the comparison, three colors when one would do, that pure numerical scoring misses entirely. The headline result is that state-of-the-art models achieve under 50% overall performance on DV World, exposing what the authors describe as critical deficits in handling the complexity of real-world data visualization. The number is consistent with what the Hugging Face commenters noticed. Native spreadsheet manipulation is harder than the leaderboard for one-shot chart generation might have suggested, and the proactive intent alignment subset is where the largest gap appears between top-tier models and the rest of the field. Models that are merely competent at producing charts on demand stumble badly when they have to negotiate the ambiguity in the prompt before producing anything at all. Reception was generally positive on the design, but raised two caveats. First, the multimodal LLM as judge component has the usual concerns about judge bias toward outputs that resemble its own training distribution. Second, the 50% headline figure is an aggregate across very different subtasks. The per subtask breakdown matters more than the headline, and DV World's value to the field will depend on whether downstream agent developers actually optimize against the full benchmark rather than cherry-picking the easier subdomains. And for our fourth and final story today, the Pentagon-Google agreement reported this week, which formalizes Google's expanded role in Department of Defense AI procurement. Specifically, it grants Google the contractual standing to provide its frontier models for any lawful Department of Defense use, terminology that materially differs from the constrained use case specific language in earlier military AI procurements. The framing matters because it inverts the burden of proof. Where prior contracts enumerated allowed uses and required affirmative review for each new application, the any lawful formulation puts the legal department, not the procurement officer, in the gatekeeping role. In practice, that means Google's models become a default permitted Department of Defense capability across the agency unless individual deployments are flagged. The most discussed structural consequence is the contrast with Anthropic's earlier stance. Anthropic publicly declined to participate in the broadest Pentagon AI uses, citing constitutional AI and safety policy concerns, and that refusal is now visibly costing it federal share. Google's expanded access fills the procurement vacuum Anthropic created, several Hacker News comments, and the lead thread had 288 points, drew the comparison to Project Nimbus, the Israel Google Cloud contract, arguing the any lawful clause echoes Nimbus's broad permissioning language and, like Nimbus, will likely face internal employee dissent at Google. TechCrunch reports the Pentagon's GenAI.mil platform, the government-side wrapper that consumed third-party model APIs through May, gains Google's models alongside its existing OpenAI and Microsoft connectors, with usage on the platform reportedly past 100,000 user-built agents. The implications for the wider AI policy landscape are real. Three of the four U.S. frontier model labs, OpenAI, Google, Microsoft, are now explicitly enabled for broad Department of Defense use. Anthropic's holdout posture is increasingly an outlier rather than a representative industry stance. That changes how Capitol Hill and the executive branch read industry concerns about military AI. A single lab refusal carries less rhetorical weight when the rest of the frontier is on board. It also changes the AGI policy conversation downstream. If the technical capabilities being marketed to enterprise are also being marketed to defense under permissive terms, the safety policy argument that frontier models are too dangerous to deploy widely loses force because they are already being deployed widely. The legal craft on the any lawful language is likely to receive sustained scrutiny. The phrase is not new in Department of Defense procurement. It appears in cloud services contracts going back years, but its first frontier model application sets the template for the rest of the procurement cycle. So that's the day. Two stories about plumbing, two stories about ideas. The plumbing, the OpenAI restructuring and the Pentagon deal, is reshaping who has access to what and on what terms. The ideas, recursive MES and DV world, are reshaping what we think a multi-agent system is and how we measure agents that touch real human workflows. There's a thread connecting all four, if you squint. They're each, in different ways, about agents. How we build them, how we sell them, how we test them, and who gets to use them. A patient day in the woods, the kind where the news doesn't shout, but the contracts quietly change shape underneath. The full digest has the rest, including the GitHub Copilot pricing change, the Vibe Voice open release, and a fresh batch of archive papers I haven't covered here. I'll be back tomorrow morning with whatever the day brings. Until then, keep reading papers, keep your skepticism warm, and don't believe the first paragraph of any press release. The Wolf is signing off.